our inflation rate in December quarter is 3.5%, which is just outside the 2-3% band that the Reserve Bank aim for. Pressure on pricing is still happening. You know, we know fuel prices are going up, particularly with what's happening in the Ukraine. Construction costs are continuing to go up. But personally, I think that's the right approach. I know a lot of people don't agree. They think they should be moving now, but it's a good idea for them to be patient and not rush into increasing rates, particularly in such an uncertain economy with flooding and war overseas.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. With thanks to our partner Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast, visit joineliteagent.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of today's show. My guest today is Ray White Chief Economist Nerida Connersby. A leading property expert, Nerida provides market commentary to a wide range of Australian media outlets and also, obviously, to the Ray White Group. So, Nerida, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back. I think the last time we spoke was back in 2019, and it was a very, very different time. And you've also changed jobs in that time. So tell us a little bit about what your new role at Ray White involves.
Yes, I've been with the Ray White Group for, well, since May, end of May last year. So it's getting on to almost a year that I've been there. So I am the chief economist. I've got a team, and in my team, I have someone that looks after commercial research, Vanessa Rader. I've got an analyst, William Clark, who works very closely with me day to day, and then I've also got a strategy analyst, Jordan Tommy, who looks very closely at a lot of market share data and industry data, and looks at our performance. So my role is very much around looking at data, and more particularly a lot of our data. We've been, the Ray White Group has been collecting data for a very long time, and it was one of the key things that really attracted me to the company, that they had a stack of data, they were using it, but they really needed a voice for it. And I guess that's a key part of my role is to be a voice for the data, but also to provide our agents with interesting trends in the industry, allow them to have better conversations, back them up in terms of engagement, and making sure that their customers have the best industry knowledge and the best market knowledge that we can possibly provide.
I have noticed too that there's a lot of really interesting commentary coming out of Ray White lately, and it must be great for you. You must be like a kid in a candy shop, because I remember we talked to Mark McLeod recently on the podcast, and he described it as a data lake, which is the first time I've heard it described as a lake. What are some of the things that you're looking at that are perhaps, like new and different?
Yeah, so I guess we've got the same data as probably a lot of people now. You know, we do track every single sale across Australia, not just our sales. We track all listings that are taking place. So from that data, we're able to provide, standard things, median pricing and all the rest. But we have been delving a little bit more into doing some more fun things around street level data, looking at street names. I know you guys were great when you put that in Elite Agent. We're really happy about that. You're looking at what street names commanded the top pricing, street numbers, what are the lucky street numbers. But then also we've been collecting a lot of information on our auction business. So, we do conduct the most auctions of any group in Australia. It does give us very rich data from week to week around how many active bidders are at auction, how many auctions are taking place, obviously clearance rates, the gap between highest prior offer and sale price. So that's been really exciting. And then in terms of our management business as well, we are collecting more and more information on the rental market, which, is certainly not a market that does attract a lot of research interest. And the data, the data is okay on rents, but beyond that, it is pretty weak. But, we are trying to really build up our knowledge of how rental markets operate, which helps renters and, of course, also helps landlords and also property managers.
So let's talk about 2021 for a moment, because 2021 was a pretty interesting year in the real estate industry. And a lot of people have used words with me like, you know, I've never seen anything like this before. Could anyone have foreseen what happened to housing prices in 2021?
Yeah, look, it is interesting going back to March 2020. It was, an interesting time in terms of what happened in the early weeks of the pandemic. There was a lot of panic around what would potentially happen. There was differing views as to, you know, I guess the most negative was that we were in for this free fall of pricing. I think a lot of people were looking back to the early 90s recession as an example. You know, that was probably in most of our lives probably the worst recession that had taken place, and people kind of expecting that sort of occurrence. I guess though, you know, what did happen was, you know, there was this period of uncertainty, and then government did pump in a lot of stimulus into the economy, and we also saw interest rates hit very, you know, the lowest levels recorded, and, you know, there was just a lot that took place. And then I guess too, fundamentally, a lot of people could do their jobs from home, and so the economy didn't stop running, it kept running, but, you know, the people impacted were renters, because they tended to be younger, had jobs that were more susceptible to lockdowns, those sorts of things. So it was quite interesting, you know, early weeks, pretty unstable, things started to pick up, and then certainly by December 2020, it was clear that the market was tearing off, and, you know, it was really, we were seeing this incredible price growth. So by January, start of 2021, I don't think there was anyone that was calling a price decline. It was, you know, it was clear that things were moving very quickly, and and as you said, and as people have said to you, it is unprecedented. You know, when we have a look at charts, if we have a good percentage growth, obviously that shows it, but, you know, you have a look at the charts of the Sydney median house price from the 80s, and it's kind of bumping up, you know, a few periods where it pushes up, and then suddenly it's almost vertical in terms of what happened. And so that was interesting, but it was also interesting that it wasn't just Sydney, it was Australia, and it wasn't just capital cities, it was regional, and, you know, there was a handful of places that haven't done well through the pandemic, and you could list them. You know, the Melbourne CBD units, for example, haven't done that well, and North Ryde units. But, you know, overall, it is quite difficult to find a place that didn't see incredible price growth during a pandemic and during a period in which people thought the market was going to move in exactly the opposite direction.
It was a pretty interesting year. And I think, you know, like, as I said to you before we hit the record button, we had researched some questions to ask you last week. And I sort of feel like they're a week old, like, because that's how fast things move. But let's go with this. At the moment, you know, like, we're dealing with some floods in northern New South Wales and in Queensland, and, you know, in other places down the east coast of Australia. What effect do you think that will have on the market as we move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such a topical thing at the moment because it's impacting people so badly. I mean, we have been looking pretty closely at, you know, the response, or, you know, what people should be doing. You know, that's definitely been a focus that, you know, right now is check your insurance, check you've got flood cover, make sure you're safe. I know our property management teams are working very closely with tenants, you know, trying to rehouse tenants out of unsafe accommodation and putting them in vacant rental properties that we have available. So, you know, it does seem that the industry is working together to really just keep people, in accommodation and keep people comfortable. In terms of what happens after natural disasters, it is quite interesting to see what happens to pricing. I guess, you know, we have that initial displacement of people, and, you know, that's very difficult for rental markets in particular. We can often see rent, you know, if you have a look around the bushfires, you know, rents in some regional towns that never had rental growth, you know, we saw quite strong rental growth as people had to get out of bushfire affected regions. That seems to be the immediate response. And then you've got a 12-month time period where people rebuild, and, they either, you know, knock down their homes and rebuild them, or they significantly invest and take the insurance money and improve the properties. Also, government tends to move in and you know, clear up, you know, hopefully start to create a situation where it, you know, the natural disaster won't happen again, or the impacts can be far less. So that 12-month time period, we often don't see many sales taking place, and when they do take place, they tend to be more distressed sales. So, you know, it would be someone who's perhaps not insured, just, you know, quite keen to get on the market. It was interesting today. We've been having a closer look at what happened to Brisbane following in the 12 months following the 2011 floods. And typically we saw around a 5% decline in the worst affected regions. So you have a look at somewhere like Yeronga, we saw about a 5 to 6% impact on pricing in that 12 months. But following that, we do see prices recover quite quickly, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that homes improve. You know, I think, you know, either they're rebuilt or they're, you know, there's a lot done to them to make them more flood-proof, more fire-proof, more erosion-proof. Governments, again, you know, depending on what the government does, you know, often the areas start to become a lot safer. So you've got newer homes, you've got safer areas, people... Often, I mean, actually, the other main point to make is that often places impacted by natural disaster are also very desirable areas. So, you know, Riverside, Brisbane, Beachside, Narrabeen, similarly, you know, Mallacoota, you know, they're really nice areas. So they're desirable and people want to buy property there, but, you know, they are also susceptible to disaster. So typically after 3 years, things are going back to normal. And then by 5 years, provided the disaster hasn't happened again, things are pretty much back to normal. So, you know, if you have a look at Brisbane at the moment, I mean, the market has been flying. It's, you know, it's certainly not showing any evidence of a slowdown. And there's a lot of interstate money going up there. At the moment, you know, we can see that the disaster this time around is very different from 2011. It's not... it's a weather disaster. It's not a weather disaster plus an infrastructure failure. So it's, you know, the response is looking quite different. And we do think the property impacts will probably be quite different as well.
Yeah, we'll have to sort of wait and see how it all plays out. But goodness, I hope the rain stops soon.
Yeah, it's relentless, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so on another front this week also, we saw... housing prices fall for the first time in Sydney and Melbourne, only by a little bit, but by a little bit. What are you seeing in terms of listings coming to market from a Ray White point of view?
Yeah, look, it's definitely slowing. I mean, you know, we can see that things are taking a little bit longer to move. Auctions, that, you know, properties are still selling at auctions. If you have a clearance rates, they're still, you know, they're still pretty solid, but the number of bidders per auction is starting to slow down a little bit. So there's definitely been a switch in Melbourne and Sydney. I mean, both markets are highly susceptible to talk of an interest rate rise, and, you know, they do move very closely with interest rate talk, you know, which is quite different to markets like Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth. So at the moment it does look like it is slowing. I mean, we will get a bit clearer idea over the next couple of months. Like, you know, the big unknown is when will interest rates rise. I think there's a recognition that it will be sooner than 2023 and quite possibly this year. But, you know, I think over the next couple of months we will get a clear idea. But things have slowed. You know, we know that things have slowed in Melbourne and Sydney, and those heady days of 30, 40, 50% increases are unlikely to happen this year, or, you know, highly unlikely to happen this year. It's going to be a much slower market.
It's interesting. I was actually going to ask you to maybe if you'd peer into your crystal ball on interest rates, but I think, you know, what you just said then is a very clear indication of what a lot of people are saying, is that there will be some sort of an increase and it might happen sooner than we think.
Yeah, it's spot on. I mean, I think, you know, the Reserve Bank has said, you know, we're not going to just jump and start increasing them. We're not going to look overseas and see them. You know, we know New Zealand's had three increases. Their property prices are, you know, going down quite quickly at the moment. UK's had, you know, a number. We've got US looking very closely. So, you know, we know overseas is moving, but at the same time, our inflation rate in December quarter is 3.5%, which is just outside the 2 to 3% band that the Reserve Bank aimed for. Pressure on pricing is still happening. You know, we know fuel prices are going up, particularly with what's happening in the Ukraine. Construction costs are continuing to go up, but personally, I think that's the right approach. I know a lot of people don't agree. They think they should be moving now, but it's a good idea for them to be patient and not rush into increasing rates, particularly in such an uncertain economy with flooding and war overseas.
Yeah, that's something else that's kind of new in the week that happened since I planned this podcast. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, international borders. Finally, we can maybe go back to Inman again one day or something like that. That'd be really cool. Now that the borders are open, what sort of an impact do you think that will have on our market?
Yeah, it's obviously great news. I mean, I can't wait to travel again, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are in a similar boat. If we have a look at universities, you know, they've been really struggling. I think, you know, around 50,000 students, foreign students, have already returned out of 150,000. We're going to have tourists back. We're going to have workers back. You know, I think this is a lot of industries have really been struggling to find people, you know, to fill roles from agriculture to hospitality to transport industry. You know, they've all been really struggling to get people. So, you know, it's great from an employment perspective to have immigration start up again. In terms of property, in terms of migration, typically people come into Australia initially rent first before they buy. They typically come to Sydney and Melbourne first before they move elsewhere. So it is likely that Melbourne and Sydney, not likely, but, you know, we're certain that Melbourne and Sydney rents will start to climb even further this year. We'll see markets like Melbourne CBD, which, you know, rents have dropped by about 30-40% since the start of the pandemic. We'll see them pick up again. Students return. So it's a very good news for some rental markets. It's a bit more challenging for some areas that have already risen a lot. You know, I think a family home now in Sydney is quite hard to rent, so that will be a little bit challenging. We will start to see a lot of foreign buyer activity again. It was quite interesting looking at commercial property transactions last year. Offshore buyers were net sellers of property, but now that they can come back to Australia, it's quite possible they'll be net buyers again. We're already starting to see signs of more activity there. Similarly, offshore buyers of new developments will be likely to come back, and probably not the Chinese that we saw in 2017, but certainly other parts of Asia and other parts of Europe and the US, it is likely we'll start to see a lot more interest in Australian, you know, new developments, particularly apartments, which, you know, we really haven't seen much activity for quite a number of years now.
It will definitely be interesting. And also, I remember back in 2019, you know, there had been a lot of intervention in that year when you and I last talked from, I think it was, we'd just come through an election year and all sorts of things like that. And I think that there's going to be, well, everyone's saying August this year for an election in Australia. What impact do you think an election might have on the market?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think, you know, we don't know because we don't know the policies at this point. They have been extremely quiet. The Labor Party has been extremely quiet. I think the battleground will be affordability. You know, that this seems to be the issue around first home buyers, the issue around intergenerational issues such as, you know, older people owning a lot of property, younger people finding it hard to get into the market. You know, I think these are the sorts of things that will be tackled. I don't think negative gearing will be on the table. I always thought that wasn't a great strategy by Labor, and not because I, you know, fundamentally have a problem with looking at negative gearing, but, you know, the issue we have is that almost all rental properties in Australia are owned by mum and dad investors. And if you suddenly withdraw any support to them and they don't invest anymore, then you're going to have a big problem with rental rates, and you're going to have a big problem with renters who are younger and poorer. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges there. So I don't think it'll be negative gearing. I don't think it'll be an attack on investors and some of the tax incentives that they get. I think the issue will be around, well, how do we create more affordable housing? Is it supply? You know, this is what the Liberal Party believes is supply. I agree. You know, if you provide enough housing, it becomes more affordable. Or will there be more complicated policies around, you know, equity sharing, government and private equity sharing? Will be built to rent? You know, how much money will be poured into built to rent? What who are we trying to help with affordability? Is it our most vulnerable? Is it everybody? Is it upgraders? Is it first home buyers? You know, I think all of these issues will be pulled apart at some point, but you know, at this stage, it's, you know, I'm hearing nothing. I haven't heard anything with regards to the housing policy from either party at this point. So yeah, I don't really know as to what it'll be.
It has been really interesting times in that we haven't heard, you know, too much from either of them. So, you know, like I'm keen to sort of see when, you know, when it all starts, because generally people get a bit, you know, oh, we'll just wait and see, don't they?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it will be good news for Canberra potentially. The Canberra housing market has gone insane. Like everyone's gone insane, obviously, but Canberra pricing has gone completely crazy. And, you know, we typically see a Liberal government as being a smaller government. And, you know, if Labor come in, does that mean an even bigger government? And, you know, what does it mean for that market? It will be an interesting market to watch once the election is announced.
So big trend of last year was this regional shift, which we kind of touched on right in the beginning, and really interesting outcome of COVID. Do you think that will continue into this year and beyond?
Yeah, look, I suppose the regional shift was happening prior to COVID. Obviously, COVID accelerated it, and, you know, the changes in the way we work really helped that along. More people wanting holiday homes helped that along. It was, you know, it was a very unusual situation. I remember early in the pandemic people saying, oh, you know, holiday homes, people are going to get rid of holiday homes because this is what happens in a recession. People get rid of stuff they don't need. And again, you know, the opposite happened. People snapped up holiday homes when we saw a lot of demand. So I guess in terms of what I think will happen, places like Geelong, Illawarra, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, you know, they are looking very capital city-like in terms of their pricing. So Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast are actually more expensive than Brisbane now. You've got Illawarra, which is the second most expensive area in Australia after Sydney. You've got Geelong, which, you know, the median is almost the same as Melbourne now. So I think, you know, those areas that are very easy to access from a capital city will continue to see strong growth. You know, I really can't see that changing. I think where we'll start to see a little bit of a drop off in activity will be those regional areas that are, you know, a bit further away, not quite within commuting distance. Yeah, at some point people will be called back into the office, and, you know, it hasn't happened yet, I don't think, to a huge extent, because, you know, a lot of this still being work at home orders in a lot of locations. But at some point I think people will be expected to come into the office more, which does make living quite far away a lot more difficult. So it'll be an interesting year actually for regional areas. But yeah, the ones that will continue to see strong demand will be those that are adjoining a big capital city.
Yeah. I keep saying to people, you know, because we made the move from Sydney to the Gold Coast last year, and we did it all sight unseen. You know, there was we moved into our house sight unseen. It was a virtual inspection. We bought our office sight unseen. We bought an investment property sight unseen. And then we got here and it was almost like, rather be like 10 kilometres down the road, or, you know, like, or it was almost like, because we hadn't been here, you know, we were sort of thinking, until we really got to know the area, we were, you know, now we're thinking, oh, I'd rather be here or I'd rather be there. Do you think that, you know, that's actually going to sort of speed up a few changeovers as well, or are we sort of not normal in that way?
I think it's completely natural to feel like that. And I think that's why people, when they move to a city, they, you know, they don't necessarily buy first, they rent, because, you know, you just don't know, you know, you know from your friends and family and colleagues what an area is like, but until you actually live there, you don't really get a true idea. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the other thing too is around that, you know, buying sight unseen, it's all, you know, deciding to, or renting sight unseen, you just don't really know what you're going to get into. And now that we can move around a lot more freely, it's going to really change again back to, you know, to the way that we look at property.
Yeah. So I think stay close to your customers who have recently moved, because they might want to move again. You never know.
Always stay close to your customers. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Always stay close to your customers. So we've been through a fair bit today. Is there anything else that's kind of on your radar at the moment that you're thinking about for the next 12 months, or any other trends that you're seeing?
Not really. I mean, look, at the moment, it's all about the floods. You know, we are looking really closely at what's been happening there. Sydney, Melbourne slowing is a key theme, and will Brisbane and Adelaide follow. Interesting, you know, some interesting things on commercial property, you know, that I've been looking a bit closely at. You know, I guess the big one is around when will we return to the office, and, you know, will we see activity in our CBDs return to the same way that they were prior to COVID? And, you know, why do office investors still have office property, even though tenants are, you know, so, you know, such an uncertain industry or such an uncertain sector? It's been quite an interesting one to watch. The other one I'm looking closely at too is agriculture and lifestyle properties. And again, that's quite interesting because, you know, there's no shortage of money in Australia at the moment, and a lot of people with a lot of money are buying up some of, you know, some beautiful properties in places as diverse as, you know, the Byron hinterland to Southern Highlands to, you know, all parts of Australia where there's, you know, some really beautiful property. So that's been interesting, and also the performance more generally of the agriculture sector, that, you know, Australia is doing incredibly well with agricultural exports, and, you know, at some point that will probably change as the weather changes. But, you know, for now it really is quite a fascinating sector of the market to watch.
Yeah, well, it's certainly interesting times here, and it definitely has been interesting times for the last couple of years, actually, with all the changes that have happened. So, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing a bit of, you know, what you're seeing in the market. It's absolutely it's really great to hear, and it's really great for everyone to sort of stay abreast of everything. But if there was one thing or one thought that you'd like to leave everyone with today, what would it be?
Gosh, what would be my one thought? I'm so used to talking to first time buyers at the moment. I'm like, the best financial decision you can make is buy your own property. That would be, that's my one thought that I'm constantly coming out with. But yeah, that is, you know, buy property, buy your own home, and it's going to put you in a dramatically different financial situation to someone that never gets involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And that means real estate agents too.
Absolutely.
Nerida Connersby, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast. Visit joineliteagent.com.